This is episode 96 on August 15th, 2014.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography all the time. I am Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Mark Sadowski, and joining us, monitoring our chat room live in studio on location is Maud Byrne and Shannon Guy. How's it going, guys?
Doing good, but I got kicked out of chat.
Yeah, I've been kicked out too. I'm on my way back though.
Here we go. What a great start.
Maybe that's why we have nobody in chat.
Shannon, you gotta get a little closer. Shannon, you gotta get a little closer to the mic.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
No worries.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly.
Splendid.
Awesome.
Well, how are you guys doing? Have you guys been doing any iPhone photography lately? Let's start with you, Matthew. He's muted.
Jeez, you're right. I was muted. Yeah, I got two-thirds of the way through a sentence, and then I was like, oh, they cannot hear me. Yes, I made time to get out and shoot a little bit this past week, mostly because I wanted to try out an app that one of our listeners made me privy to. Woo-hoo. And so that was fun. And I don't know, other than that, just getting ready for my son's 1 year birthday party tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Yep. So lots of pictures will be taken tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, Mark, how about you?
I have been getting ready to take photos next week. This week I've been insanely busy with my day job and my wedding photography gigs. I got a wedding tomorrow and Sunday. But I'm just getting everything ready for vacation. One wow. whole week of doing absolutely nothing and a little bit of photography. And the cool thing is that both my family and Maud's family, we're heading up to the White Mountains. And hopefully we'll be able to get some great star photography, get some waterfall photography, and get some just good old general fun photography. It'll be cool.
Nice. How about you, Shannon?
I have an engagement shoot in Nashville tomorrow.
You got to get closer.
Son of a... All right, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
All right, I have an engagement shoot in Nashville tomorrow, so I will be busy with that.
Awesome. And you, Maud?
I actually did get out and do the family photography that I was talking about last week. We went up to the park and spent, an hour and a half, 2 hours up there just taking pictures, trying to get one where everybody was looking at the camera, smiling, and not blinking all at the same time.
Yes.
It's a really hard feat, especially with two kids.
Yeah. They actually have an app for that.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'll make that my focus point today. All right. I got a focus point this today.
All right, very cool. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I suppose
I could help.
I suppose Maud and I, we did go try to take photos of the super full moon that happened last Sunday.
Did you take any photos? I saw you coming back with your camera, but when we showed up, when we finally got there.
Yeah, we kind of got there a little bit late. We didn't get it catching right over the ocean water. That was a bit of a bummer.
Mike got it right coming up over the water.
Yeah, Siska, our colleague, he was there. He saw it rise, but we didn't.
We were slow.
Yeah, kids will do that.
Yeah.
Because we brought them along, thinking it would be a great idea.
Oh, that wasn't the problem for me. I just drove by the place, went all the way clear across the island and off, and then I was like, I think I went too far. Turn around.
You drove off the island?
Oh, yeah, I went right one end of the island all the way across to the other end of the island and didn't find what I was looking for. I actually saw it at one point. I was like, that's got to be it. But I don't see a sign, so I'll keep going. I just kept driving and driving. Got off the island. It's like, okay, we went too far. That must have been it. And sure enough, on the way back, we saw the sign. It was just pointing in the other direction, so we couldn't see it when we drove by it. But
so the location we went to photograph, it was the Great Common Island. What is it? The Great...
I forgot now. Newcastle, Great...
Island Commons.
Great Island Commons, yeah. I'm saying.
And we all went there last year, both Mon, myself, and Matt, when he lived here in New England. We went looking for snowy owls around that time. So I thought it would be cool to go back there to check out the super full moon. And I wanted to get a photo of that lonely tree that's been sitting there. I got one with the leaves that were off, but I wanted to see if I could get a cool photo with the leaves on. And it turns out I took the very worst HDR photo ever. And the way I did this was I got one with a low exposure and a high exposure. And just to kind of test it out, see how everything came out, I was able to wirelessly transmit the photos to my iPhone. And then from there, import them into what's the HDR app that I was using? It's the one of the first ones. Matt,
you know. Pro HDR?
That's the one. So I imported it into that, had it do the conversion, and it turned into the most dreadful piece of snot in the world. It was as though...
I believe this story so far. It sounds completely true.
Oh, yeah. It's completely believable. Matt, remember when you said that the lighthouse photo that I posted to my Instagram had a little too much vignetting?
I always remember when I criticize you.
Right. it makes that one look like...
Like world-class art.
It makes it look like... Yeah, it makes it look like a Matisse.
Wow, that's sad.
It is...
And one impressive.
One hell of a... That tree has one hell of a halo, let's put it that way.
Oh, man.
You know, I'll post it just to show everyone how bad it is.
Nice. And I did some photography this week. On Monday, we went to the Charlotte Aviation Museum and, you know, let the kids kind of run around, see the airplanes. We climbed into one. He refused to get into the cockpit of an F-4. He thought it was scary.
He's right, because in many movies, I think Iron Eagles, they were portrayed as the MiGs.
That's right. And
was the F-4 the Phantom?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was an awesome plane.
The key aircraft that is actually in that museum is the U.S. Airway Miracle on the Hudson aircraft. They shipped it to Charlotte, and it's housed there. So you can walk around it, and you can see all the damage and everything. And they have some videos that they show of the whole event, and from when it landed to when they pulled it out of the water. So it's pretty cool. It's just amazing to, you know, see that aircraft and know how it could have been a really bad tragedy, and it happened to have a good ending. So that was our week.
That's cool.
All right. Yeah. All right, Mark. Instead of doing some news this week, since really there is none, and everything that leads up to announcing the new iPhone is always speculation and or fake pictures, we decided not to do any news. And we're going to go ahead and move into our feature. And I'll let Mark.
Sorry, I thought you said we were going to call it a show.
We're not over that quickly. Yeah. All right, let's see. I need a special stinger for that one. I'll do this one.
Woohoo!
Yeah, or I could possibly use this one.
Let me take a selfie.
I like it.
My IQ just went down a few points.
At least.
Yeah, between that and the beer I'm drinking, I'm in for a rough night.
So I was thinking we could go over some photography techniques that we all use for various different situations. And I thought I'd bring up a few general situations and see which techniques or which apps we use to best handle that moment. And I think it would be a good icebreaker for everybody to hear what we use. And if you guys, the listening audience, either live on Alpha Geek Radio, or if you're listening to this on your podcast, you know, let us know. Send us an email message. We are at, what is? I think it's theshow@tinyshutter.com. Or just go to tinyshutter.com and leave us a comment and ask your question. But I thought we would start with, like, what's your best, like, casual portrait kind of photo? Say, for example, you're at a wedding, right? You're a guest, not actually photographing the thing. I have to stress that because two of us will fall into that.
You mean like what I did at the last wedding I was in?
Quite you. So you're a guest, right? And you want to take a picture of, say, your friends that you're with. Who's taking photos?
I am.
Okay, fair enough. Like, which apps do you guys use? And, like, how is the best way you take that photo? Because most people, I'll say, and photographing a lot of weddings, I noticed that a lot of people really like holding that camera as vertical as possible. Yes. And as far back away from them as possible. So they're not only getting the whole person, but they're also getting as much background as they can, as vertically as they can. So they're getting floor to ceiling, ceiling fans, and possibly even the sky.
Let me address that real quick.
Thought I just did.
No. Let me address something about that technique that I think people should be aware of. The iPhone has a very wide field of view. And when you do a vertical shot of somebody, you're making them look a little fat. It's not a...
Not only fat, but fat-headed, because they're holding it up to their face. So you're getting that distortion from the face down. So they have a very wide head, teeny tiny legs.
Yeah, the distortion is pretty bad. That's why whenever I take a shot of somebody, I'll step back and do it horizontally, and then crop into it, because it just.
By cropping in, you mean what?
I mean, doing a portrait. If I'm going to take a shot of, like I took a family portrait. Well, it wasn't really a family portrait. I took a picture of my wife and my children after church one Sunday, and I did it vertically. But then I cropped it in a portrait style, and it looked great. It didn't have the widening effect that a vertical shot would look like.
Oh, you took the photo horizontally, landscape style.
Yep, landscape style, and then I cropped the background out and had it in portrait. It's much more pleasing to the eye. And is not it doesn't distort as much as it would if I had gotten closer to them and done the image as a crop itself in portrait, it would have distorted the whole image.
How about you, Matt?
For photographing people.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, I would say my go-to app right now for that is VSCOcam.
Nice.
But I haven't really noticed the distortion that Joe's talking about, but I have to say that nine times out of ten, I'm shooting horizontally.
Yeah.
So that's probably why. But, yeah, I rarely, if it's like, you know, someone's doing something that I know it's going to be like a really quick moment and there's like, you know, no time to be calling up different camera apps, then I'll shoot with the native camera just because it's so easy to access. But if I can, I prefer to shoot with VSCOcam.
Nice.
And I do like some of the other cameras like PureShot and stuff like that, but I have VSCOcam like in the bottom like home row or whatever you call that bottom row on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, I have a lot of other camera apps, but they're kind of all, you know, buried away in a folder.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just so much easier for me to use VSCOcam, and I like the editing in VSCOcam and everything. So I shoot a lot with VSCOcam.
Cool.
Yeah. I use Pure if I'm gonna take my time to set up the shot. It gives me a larger file. I like the image quality of Pure, but 9 times out of 10, I'm using the native app, just like what Matt said, because it's quick. And when I'm taking shots of my kids, I need that quickness. I need it to be able to, spit those shots out really quickly. When I went to the museum, I did all my wide angle shots with the panoramic feature that I have on the native app. So I got the exposure correct, stepped back and did a panoramic of the airplanes, because you would have to move all the way to one wall to try to get a whole 727 aircraft or whatever that one is. Instead, I use the panoramic feature, even though it might be a little bit more grainy, not quite the best quality. You're not going to get very clear shots because it's really dark in there. So I did my best to get the exposure correct and to try to set up the composition to where I liked it. And if you want to see those images, just go to my Instagram feed. It's at Joseph Ferreira, and take a look at it and let me know what you guys think.
Nice. How about you, Shannon?
She might be muted.
I'm sorry, we're having trouble out in the chat room. Oh. What was it?
What kind of trouble are you having in the chat room?
It keeps dropping everybody out.
Oh, that stinks.
I know.
We'll have to mention it to the guys.
Everybody.
Okay, so what was the question? Since I'm the only she here, so.
That's not true. Who's Susan?
Wendy's sister.
Oh, cool. Ah. And we have Wendy in the chat room.
Hi, Susan.
I will say hi. Hello. There we go.
Shannon, what do you use when you shoot with your iPhone? Any specific apps that you use?
Hang on. Let me set the stage for her.
Okay, go ahead.
Because she was mindfully watching the chat room. That's cool. Maud, you're on deck. Just to warn you. Say you're a guest at a wedding, and you and your friends are gathered at the, you know, your reception table, and you guys want to do a nice group photo. Use that as an example. What is the app and technique that you would best use for that situation?
My favorite one is PicTapGo.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I like that one because you can add different filters upon filters and post it directly to Instagram, full scale, straight to Facebook, Twitter. So that one's my go-to.
Nice. I haven't used that app in a while.
I like it a lot.
Sweet.
I use that one a lot.
I'll have to revisit that one.
Yeah, I think it's like 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a free app, but it's worth it.
Yeah. I had it as a focus point a while ago. But yeah, I'll have to give that another go. How about you, Maud?
I pretty much always use either ProCam or the native app.
Yeah.
I don't really switch from app to app for different types of pictures. I have ProCam on my bottom bar, and I use the native app once in a while when I'm too lazy to turn the camera all the way on to get at it. I wouldn't say I use it just because it's faster. I use it just because I'm lazy. I'll admit it. Yeah, that's about it.
Nice. All right, another situation that I want to throw at you guys is random street photography. So, for example, you're walking in your major city that you are currently near, whatever the case may be, whether it's Boston or not Boston. that's easy to remember that way. You see something weird happening on the street. You're able to photograph it. What are you guys going to use for that particular situation? Let's start with you, Joe.
Native app. Because if it's happening right away, I'm just with the flick of the thumb, I'm going to open up that native app and just start taking shots.
Nice. How about you?
I'm one-dimensional, sorry.
No, that's all good. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, if I see something weird, which to me means, you know, it's something that's like a fleeting moment. It's going to be native app or possibly VSCOcam.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those two for sure.
See, I was totally thinking about setting up a pinhole camera, you know, getting a nice artistic kind of view of it.
I was going to say, wait, seriously?
Oh, that's good. Here's something that I wish the iPhone had. I don't know if anybody...
Pinhole camera?
Oh, no, not pinhole camera.
Oh.
So, when you're trying to take something spur of the moment, it's easy to just flick the screen and it brings up your camera app, and then you're going, you can photograph immediately. But if you wanted to take an immediate video, you have to flick the screen and then scroll down until you get to video, and then you can start videoing. I wish there was a flick that you can do, like maybe in the opposite direction or something, that would be able to bring up the video instead of the camera.
Hmm, that's interesting. I'm glad you didn't say a button, because do you know how many pocket shots that we would have?
Well, that's really only one extra finger swipe to do video. You do straight to the camera, and then
flip over
one
to the
flip
right.
To the right.
Yeah, but sometimes that other flip is a little awkward.
I tend to do that flip accidentally all the time when I'm trying to zoom. I'm always flipping to freaking video when I'm trying to take a or to square when I'm trying to zoom. Like, I wanted to zoom.
Yeah. And my phone has had a tendency of not responding right away. So I flick the screen up, hit the photo button, and I'm trying to move it immediately, and there's a little bit of a lag to it.
Yeah, that happens. I think if you haven't cleared out icons and your phone hasn't been sort of restarted in a while, it'll take a little while for the camera app to pop up.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, just having sorry to completely go back for a second here, but just having mentioning the pinhole camera, I had to go out and do a search to see, is there a pinhole camera app for the phone? And of course there is.
Of course.
And it's probably garbage.
Probably.
I've never enjoyed pinhole cameras to begin with.
I made a pinhole lens for my 30D.
Did you try that? I remember we talked about that. Did you actually try it?
Oh, yeah. I did both digital and 35 millimeter because I've got a Elan 2, Canon camera.
And how'd the pictures come out?
Good. I mean, yeah. I did black and white for the film, and surprising, I handheld it, and it did really well.
For, like, how long of an exposure?
Oh, I want to say it was a 15th of a second was the slowest that I did it on. Which isn't bad.
Your mom is Irish and your dad is part statue. So you can You have an easier time with that.
I don't shake.
Yeah, Mark doesn't have very steady hands, or so he likes to say.
I don't have steady hands at all.
Yeah, I haven't had an issue with shooting at 15th of a second.
I shoot down to much lower than that. Only if I can like sit down and brace my arms and stuff on a rock right. or something up against a tree. But and doing so, I have to count on the fact that I will probably lose between a third and a half of my pictures when I take it real right. slow shutter speeds. So I'll take more pictures because of it. But I can shoot it. Or I do shoot it way down low because I really hate setting up tripods. I mean, yeah, I love them, but they're just such an annoyance to set up.
Especially if you're in rocky terrain.
And if you don't have a good one, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
Last time I used the tripod, one of my legs fell off. So now it's a I don't know what you would call a dual pod.
Bipod?
Bipod. There you go. It's a bipod.
No, literally, his leg fell off.
I hate when that happens.
That happens all the time. It's the weather.
That's why winter's best when you freeze the legs on.
Yep. Pro tip. All right, that's
you got another situation?
That's the only sudden ones that I have. Do you guys have a situation that comes to mind?
Yeah, when you have all day to compose the shot and just linger.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
That's a good one. All right. What kind of shot are we looking at in this scenario?
Obviously a waterfall of some sort.
Oh, right up my alley.
Could I use a car for my situation?
Can you what?
Use a car because I don't have waterfalls.
No, waterfalls.
I've never done a waterfall.
Seriously?
Shot.
You've never done a waterfall shot?
No.
That's a sad story.
I don't even know if we should keep
the woods to do waterfall shots.
I'll get my garden hose and set it up on the deck and have the waterfall.
Backyard waterfall. I'm loving it.
There you go. That's all you need.
Sounds like a photo project in the making.
Well, I'll start. If I was to like go to a car show or something like that, I would use the Pure Shot.
Okay.
I would use Pure Shot. If I had all day, Pure Shot would be my choice.
Cool.
I got a question for you. Asking all these questions about different situations, what apps would use, it sounds to me like
or
you
technique.
Guys, true, but we're pretty much answering in apps. So that leads me to my question of, do you guys keep lots of different camera apps on your phone?
I keep so many apps that I'm only allowed to take one photo.
No, I don't have that many. If I don't use them, I delete them right off.
Yeah,
I'll
pretty much.
For a little while, and then I'll realize, you know what? I haven't used this forever. Get rid of it. But yep. I think I've got Pro Camera. I've got the native app. And then I probably still have one or two other camera apps sitting around that I haven't used in forever.
I have...
Sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
I have like 27 apps that I would consider camera apps on my phone.
Really?
Yeah. Which is kind of ridiculous, I suppose.
Are there any of them in there that you have literally not used in like months and months and months that you could just say, you know what, it's just time to get rid of those?
Oh, yeah, of course. Part of the reason I have some of these is just because of this podcast. You know, especially back in the earlier days of it when, you know, we just felt the need to talk about something different all the time. But I'll just give you some examples real quick. So I have one app called Levitagram, which is really kind of a stupid camera app that's used for taking pictures that make it look like you can make it look like a person or like an object is levitating. But when I realized how it works, I realized you don't need a special app for that because it was basically just taking two pictures one where like you put, let's just say it's a person. So you would take one shot of them and they're maybe like on a, like laying with their stomach on a stool and their arms and legs outstretched like Superman. And then you keep the phone in the same exact position, remove the person in the stool and take another shot. Then you combine the two pictures in the app and you erase the stool so that it looks like the person is flying like Superman. You don't need a special app to do that. You could do that in
Handycam. You know,
anything. Filterstorm, Photoshop. There's like all kinds of apps. So that's just stupid. So I don't even know why that's on my phone. Focus Twist, which I think at the time, like a year or two ago, when I talked about this on the show, I thought it was cool. It's kind of like a what's that silly camera called with the adjustable focus after the fact?
Ta-da.
No.
He's talking about
Lytro.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like a Lytro type effect. That's just kind of dumb too. And then I have
actually, it's not that bad.
I have
it's
like
not
a
that
few.
Good.
I have a few other apps. I actually seriously have some apps that I don't even know what they do. I have one app called Lightspeed. I think it's like a time lapse app, but I have no idea.
Oh yeah, I've got that one. Yeah, that's one that Keith had mentioned to us. It's actually a fairly interesting time lapse one where it does blurred motion time lapse. So it holds the shutter open for a longer exposure per frame. And then it kind of skips ahead and skips a little bit of time. And then it does it again for a set time of exposure per frame. So you get kind of like a combination of blurred motion and time lapse together.
That's
it is actually fairly interesting. But it's the type of thing you wouldn't use very often.
Well, I do have a lot of different camera apps that I still would use for different situations. Like, for instance, in the waterfall scenario that I threw out there, I would probably actually use two different apps. And so what I would end up doing is mounting my phone on a tripod, and I would take one shot with an HDR app, and then without moving anything I would take another shot with the slow shutter cam app. So that I could get that flowing water kind of effect.
Yeah.
And then in a third app, like probably Filterstorm, that tends to be my favorite one for this type of stuff, I would load those two photos into Filterstorm as two layers. And then I would basically paint in the waterfall from the slow shutter cam picture into the HDR picture.
Nice.
Interesting.
So I guess some of my apps, there's a reason why I have them, but then I have other apps, like I mentioned, that I have no idea why I have them. So, but I, you know, I don't know. I have this phone with all this space on it, so I don't really care that I have them.
Yeah.
Not really, no.
Nice.
What about you, Mark?
I have the diff case for the tripod mount for my phone. That thing is always on it, and I always have a tripod in the trunk of my car just in case, you know, I see a waterfall or something. It's not often, unfortunately, but it's there.
Garden hose. Come on, man.
There you go. And then the app of choice I use for the blur effect is slow shutter cam. I use nothing else.
Nice.
And a yawn just struck me upside the face. I apologize.
I will tell you what I will not use that I have on my camera.
Oh, wait. Let me, before you go on, one of the things that I'm kind of struggling with is trying to find a good telephoto for the iPhone. A lot of people have suggested the Olo clip, But a lot of people have also said that there's a soft focusing around the... You have the center focus, then it kind of gets soft around the edges.
Yeah.
Matt, I really can't wait till you get your Kickstarter lenses that...
You just wanted to get him riled up, huh?
I do, because I'm curious. I'm riled up because I want to see the results of those things.
I can't wait either. I'm dying here.
But my biggest issue is with the iPhone is range, and that's because I'm always too far away from something. I wish that there was a decent, I don't know, maybe at least a 50 millimeter attachment to put onto a phone, or 50 millimeter equivalent.
Okay, I got to address that.
Go on.
I crop in. I'll take the shot, but then I'll crop in. And it may or it may not look great, but when I put it on Instagram, nobody's going to be blowing it up. I took a picture of a Mustang that was coming towards me, and the only good shot that I got was when it was very far away. I cropped in almost as close as you can crop in on Snapseed and still got a good shot out of it. And I'm using a 4S.
Yeah, but I want to print him after.
You can print it. Well, I can't say that the quality is that great, but, you know, it's... I think we don't take, especially the still shots, I don't think we utilize the cropping as much as we probably should.
No, I at crop, least try it. But...
I'm talking really cropping, like taking almost 99% of the image out. Cropping.
Ah, that defeats the purpose. In my
beats
eyes.
A lens.
What's that?
It beats a lens.
Beats a lens to death is what it's doing.
I'm afraid with a telephoto lens and the iPhone that there's going to be too much motion blur.
See, I'm not even looking for that big of a telephoto. It's I don't know if it's there's that mentality of all.
Do you want to like a 2, a 5X or a 10X, or what are you looking for?
I'm looking for 50 millimeters.
1,000 millimeter.
No, 50 millimeters. That's it. 50 millimeters is my magic number. I can do almost anything with a 50 millimeter lens.
You know, we need to try to get one of those cases where you can mount a 50 millimeter on it.
I think that turns it into something else, but...
Yeah.
Do you think... look at the size of the little filter on the... the little lens on these iPhones. Do you think we're stretching the bounds of what is possible with an iPhone camera? I mean, you start talking about... And there's so many of these different... lens adapters you can put onto the iPhone for all the different types of things, and the 50 might not be too much of a stretch, but still, I just happen to be sitting here looking at the lens right now, and just thinking that is such a tiny little thing, such a tiny little sensor,
shutter, you might say.
You might, nicely put. But you, to some extent, you gotta just say, you know, putting a big 50 millimeter lens on there. You try to focus so much light down to this tiny, tiny little sensor, and it's kind of starts bringing into the same type of things as, you know, crop sensor versus full frame sensor. Now this is teeny tiny crop sensor. You know, you just at some point you're reaching the outer bounds of what is going to be possible with a sensor that size. And I think
no, because the technology is just getting better and better. I mean, if you want to, I mean, all right, we're gonna, you know, start going a little technical in this part, but you know, back in the day it was full frame sensors, that's the best thing, and then the crop sensor APS-C sensors were nothing but jack crap because, well,
no,
at the time,
no,
they
no
were jack
reverse
crap.
It reverse
quiet
it.
No, hang on, I'm
APS-C came out before the full frame.
Yes, and when full frame came out, it was like the it's as though Jesus
but
came from the
worked.
Heavens,
but they worked. That's what people forget, is that the APS-Cs...
I get to my point. Hang on.
Okay.
Follow me here. You know, I'm not talking... Look, you're using common sense and logic. I'm talking about trolls and evil witches trying to stir the pot here.
Yes, they took the photo, but you know, people were all about full frame, and now APS-C sensors that you see in a lot of the mirrorless cameras, Fuji, Olympus, Sony, those APS-C sensors are doing extremely well. In some cases, they are surpassing the ability that a full frame can do. Not so much that, like the
angle.
Yeah, not so much the you know, amount of light that you're capturing, but the ISO sensitivity and all that stuff that, you know, that's gone leaps and bounds ahead of what full frames are doing. So Canon, Nikon, suck it. Start getting better. So my point, bringing it back to the iPhone, is, you know, the technology and the software that's being developed for these lenses is also leaps and bounds ahead of what we had before. A lot of the development in the sensors is a lot of the time. I mean, yes, they're making headway with the glass and the sensor and how Apple
stabilization
and Apple is saying, if you put it in the right spot, you get such a better quality. That's my Tim Cook impression, by the way. And that's what he said for the iPhone 5, or I think it was for the iPhone 5 or 5S. No, it had to be for the 5.
Well,
the
totally agree
point I'm getting at is the technology behind it, the tech behind, the software behind the photos are getting much, much better.
I get that, and I totally agree with it. But I still think that at some point, without making them physically bigger, you're gonna keep running into those kind of outer boundaries of this is as much as you can eke out of something that size.
I think that's why Apple has not increased the megapixel in the last three iPhones.
It's possible, but you look at cameras like the Windows Phone in particular, the Nokia, the Lumias, I think.
Yeah.
Those are probably one of the better cameras out there. As far as hardware goes, the glass and the sensors, much better than the iPhone. But what differentiates the two is the software.
That is true. My wife has one of those phones.
Oh, really?
And it takes... No, I'm sorry. It's not the newer Nokia. Not that really big.
Yeah, we're talking about the newer stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The newer Nokias it's also
one
have
generation
a...
back that she has. But it doesn't take the best pictures, and the problem I have with it is that it tends to, and I think it is comes down to more of a software thing, is that it tends to have bad autofocus, doesn't focus very good, very poor low light on hers anyways. There was something else, but I can't remember. It's been so long since I've used it now.
Yeah, so software is a huge deal. At least with this technology. Anyway, that could be a whole other topic for a whole other show. Yeah. But anyway, how about we continue the scenario things next week?
That sounds good.
Well, it can't be next week because there won't be a show next week.
We'll mention that
at the end of the show. But more to come on that. And if you guys have a scenario that you guys would like us to tackle, in some case literally here... it became a heated debate. Is that a word? Debate. Send us a message, theshow@tinyshutter.com, or go to tinyshutter.com and leave us a message in the comment section.
All right, Mark, let's go ahead and get into post pick of the week. All right, this week it is my turn. What we do each week, if you're new, is we go through the Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram. We have people who follow the show and they contribute to the hashtag. We go through each week and we choose one to be our cover art for our episodes. And this week I am choosing McSnappy. He has posted an image of a leaf. There are water droplets on this leaf, and you can see the detail in it. He used the Olo clip, the macro part of the lens, to get in and get all this great detail. It looks awesome. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm totally digging this shot. I love the depth of field effect.
Yes.
And just the little minute detail, like in the veins of the leaf, it's just incredible.
I think it's pretty badass.
Yeah. I love the detail in the leaf. I love the way the beads of water are on the leaf, and that they also reflect the sky. And it's like one of those concept art, when graphic design on computers really became popular and people were doing some wild things with it. It has that sort of feeling to it. I think it's a good example of what you can do with the iPhone. What were you going to say, Maud?
I was going to say, I like the colors in the photo. It's not bright green like you might expect. It's more of a dulled, very just hints of green there, more of almost a brownish in color.
Yeah.
But I think that works. I don't think it would have worked as good if it had been bright green. I think it would have been too overpowering. This way you can actually really examine the veins and all the detail.
Yeah. Well, good job, Mick Snappy. That's MCSNAPPY. That's our follower. He has a lot of great images in the Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram. If you would like to contribute, be sure to put on your image in the comment section the pound sign, which is the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and you will be adding to the over 22,000 images that we have in there. And it's really neat to be able to see all the contributors and what they're coming up from, street photography to macro, doing cars, landscapes. We even have some people in there doing waterfalls. So good job. All right, let's move into focus points.
Oh, I was too busy looking at waterfalls.
Focus point.
All right. Matt, let's start with you.
Okie dokie. We had a listener mention an HDR app to us, and I apologize. I cannot find that message to save my life, so I don't remember the listener's name. If you're listening to this episode, send me another message. Anyway, the app that he mentioned was called Vivid HDR. It's $1.99 in the App Store. And he just wanted to know if we'd heard of it, if we'd tried it, what do we think of it, that kind of thing. And I have to be honest, I'd never heard of it before. So I looked it up and was intrigued, downloaded it, and I decided that in order to give it a fair shake, what I really need to do is make it my go-to HDR app for like a while, I guess. So on the bottom bar on my phone, the bar that doesn't change from screen to screen,
yeah,
I have the music app, Instagram, ViscoCam, and I had True HDR. So I moved True HDR into a folder and put Vivid HDR there. That way, it's super easy access.
Nice.
So there a few times this week, I either just went outside at my house or when I was out and about and found something interesting to take a picture of, I used the Vivid HDR app and then basically shot the same shot again using the True HDR app. And I got to tell you, I switched to True HDR like probably a year or two ago from Pro HDR. And the main reason for the switch was I felt that True HDR gave a more realistic HDR image, and it was also like a zillion times faster. Well, Vivid HDR is probably even faster than True HDR. And one of the things I noticed in all the pictures that I took is that I have yet to have to reshoot in Vivid HDR due to the two pictures that it takes, the over and under exposures, to them not lining up. Every single time it's been perfect, and I've been shooting handheld. Nice. So that's very impressive to me. The app does default to what they call their dramatic preset, although I somehow managed to set it to natural, which in my opinion gives it a little bit more, it's more closely resembles what you would get from True HDR. And the pictures, in my opinion, they turn out fine, although I wouldn't probably post them like online as a final product. I feel like they definitely need editing. They're a little on the flat side, a little, they definitely can use some saturation. But since I edit all my pictures anyway, to me, that's not like a, right, a downside or anything like that. The only other thing with this app is just getting used to the user interface. When you bring up the app, it's a really clean, really simple user interface on this. And you kind of have to remember the swipes. It kind of, it walks you through it, and you know, when you first ever open the app, but you kind of have to remember, like, okay, I need to swipe to the left to access, like, you know, some of the different settings, or swipe to the right to access the gallery and that kind of thing. So,
is that to give you a larger viewing?
Yeah, it is. Not quite full screen, but it's just about a full screen view.
Okay.
And there actually is a, if you do forget, there, I'm still kind of learning this app, but there actually is a, on the very bottom right corner of the app, there's a little light bulb. If you click on the light bulb, which is essentially like help, it brings up an overlay that shows you, you know, the swipes, and then if you tap in a spot, then, you know, it's going to focus there and that kind of thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I'm still playing with it. I still want to use it a bit more. I still want to get out and like maybe do some shots like in a city, like maybe in Cleveland or something like that. And, if I'm feeling really ambitious, maybe actually post some side-by-side comparisons between this app and True HDR on our maybe on our website, which would be pretty awesome, or at the very least on our Tiny Shutter page on Facebook.
But is this the one that has the rainbow aperture symbol?
That is the one.
I was just reading through some of it, and they have lossless compressed TIFF.
Yes, and I think at the moment I don't have it set to save that way. I think I have it set to save just as JPEG. But I think I might go back in and change that setting.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool app. I'm still exploring it, so I probably will talk about it again in a week or two.
Cool. Nice. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and say mine. Since Maud brought it up about doing the group shots, I have an app here called Group Shot. And what it allows you to do is take a series of images, and if somebody did blink, you can go to one of the other images, highlight the area of the face, either the whole face or just a certain part, and you can use another image if their eyes are open, and it'll superimpose it onto their face so that their eyes would be open. I usually do the whole head if my kids, I'm taking pictures of my kids, and one image, my daughter has a great smile. It's not cheesy, but my son has a cheesy smile. I go to the other, I take another shot. He has a nice smile. She's doing a cheesy one. I'll do that and just totally go into the app to switch the heads so that I get one good image with them both giving me a beautiful smile. So, Maud, I highly recommend it. Actually, let me look to see.
How good does it do with the blending of the two different photos?
It does very well. As long as you're not making dramatic changes to the composition.
As long as you're not moving and blinking.
Yes. No, well, if you, say for instance, my son, kind of squatted down and then the next one he jumped up, I would actually take the good image and just switch out the whole, his whole person and the background so that it would match instead of just doing the head. Because then it gets a little bit confused.
Yeah. Yeah. But now, what type of controls does it give you? You just, like, with your finger, highlight the section you want to pull off of one to put onto another?
Yes.
And how well does it do with, like, I mean, I've got fat fingers, and over stuff like that, I tend to have a hard time getting just the spot I want. I tend to do a little bit too much. Is it pretty good about, and I guess that comes into the blending part of
it. Yeah, it does very well with, it says when it goes to put the image on and change, it says, creating magic or whatever. But it actually does very well. There's sometimes you can actually see a little bit of the difference, but that's only if there was like a huge dramatic change to your composition. But for the most part, it's almost seamless. It's 99 cents on iTunes, and I highly recommend it.
What was it called again?
Group Shot.
All right. Take a look for it.
Yeah, Bob's going to be getting that one.
I'll post, it's an older post on my website, but I'll post a link to it because I have some shots of my kids and I broke it down with screenshots. I'll post it in the show notes. All right, Mark.
I am going to hold my review for next week. I don't have it ready yet.
So, okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, are we done?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let's go.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Let's, Matt, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you?
You could check me out on Twitter and Instagram at mhoffmanphoto.
All right. And Maud?
Instagram, Maud Byrne.
Shannon, if you can go ahead and unmute.
You can find me on Instagram at Shannon Guy Photo.
Awesome. And Mark?
I am on Instagram. I am that Polish photographer.
And I am on Instagram also at Joseph Ferreira. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tinyshutter. You can also follow us on Instagram at Tiny Shutter Podcast. And if you want to be featured on Post Pick of the Week or add your images to our Tiny Shutter following, you can do it with the pound sign, hashtag Tiny Shutter. I think that's it. Thanks to Alpha Geek Radio. If you guys want to listen to us live, you can, and you're listening to us on the podcast, 9 o'clock Eastern on Friday nights is when we do our live show, and you can find it on Alpha Geek Radio. Go to tinyshutter.com and look for the on-air button, and you can follow the links to listen to us live. We promise it's pretty lively. So,
or just go to alphageekradio.com and go to channel number 2. And also, right, just a reminder that we are not going to have a show next week. We might just throw something up there, like a quick soundbite or something. something just to keep the feed alive. But no full show next week.
That's right. All right. Well, I think we're done. Let's go ahead and hit it.
Oh. I am Groot.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
First, let me take a selfie.
Suck it, Android!